Well, you know me, I like to teach about healing every now and then, and this is a little bit about healing today. And you think, well, why do we need to know about that? Well, if you don't like to be sick, you need to know about healing. There's so many born-again Christians out there that are struggling with health problems and have been for sometimes years on end. And, you know, they go to church and they try to live a godly life and they study their Bible and then they wonder why they're sick. They wonder, well, why isn't the Word of God working for me? What am I doing wrong? What am I missing here? You know, is it the fact that healing isn't really for everyone? And, of course, we hear arguments about, well, this was only in the time of the disciples when Jesus was walking on the earth. And we hear these things and saying, well, you know, healing's not for today. It was just then. But my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that tells me that what was enforced back then still applies today. But yet, you know, society changes and we change as a people. You know, you can look at our country, look over the last 50 years, see how much has changed in America. Okay, so do you think it's possible in 2,000 years since Jesus walked this earth that there's been some changes in opinions and changes on theory? Of course there have been. But the Word of God doesn't change. You know, I know like it says in Jude that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the disciples. And that's something I want to try to do today. I want to try to deliver you what was delivered to them. Let's take a look at the beginning of man's creation, for example. In the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness. God did not create man to be sick. He did not create us the need to run to the doctor. He did not create us to have arthritis and rheumatism and the epizooty and the flu and the common cold. And God didn't create all that stuff for man. We were created in the beginning to be in perfect health, absolutely perfect health. So sickness is not a natural state. It's an unnatural state. Jesus came to bring us back to that natural state again. He came to bring us back to a sinless state and a sick-free state. Well, sickness came into the world through what? Through sin, right? And at the same time, sickness can leave your body through the forgiveness of those sins. But everybody is trying to get rid of sickness. You know, the doctors are working to get rid of sickness. Of course, the pharmaceutical companies, I'm not too sure if they're working to get rid of sickness. They're just working to make a profit. But it's man's desire to be healthy. We got all these health food stores that sell stuff. We got these organic growers that grow food trying to keep us healthy. And of course, God created our bodies to heal themselves because sickness is not the natural state. It's not the default thing. We want to be free from sickness. Well, you know, some people believe an error that they're sick because God's trying to teach them a lesson. But yet, what do? They run to the pharmacy to get some pills, or they run to the doctor to try to get well. And what doesn't make sense to me, if somebody truly believes in their heart that God made them sick to try to teach them a lesson, then why don't they stay sick and learn the lesson? Why are they disobeying God trying to get well if they believe that God wants them sick? Well, you know, that's nonsense, isn't it? You think about that and you think, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, of course it doesn't, because God doesn't teach his kids lessons by making them sick any more than any of you parents would take your kids and say, well, you know, this person over here has got AIDS, so I'm going to take my kid and expose him to AIDS because they're bad and I want to teach him a lesson. Well, you wouldn't do that. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father. He's not a bad Father. He doesn't put sickness on us. Sin puts sickness on us. All the healing we're ever going to need was bought and paid for by Christ Jesus of Nazareth. Every bit of it. But some people will pray and pray and pray trying to get well. And then they'll go to the doctor and doctor prescribe them a pill. And they'll take a pill and they feel better in the morning. It's a no-brainer. What are you going to do? You're going to take the easy path, right? You're going to go to the doctor and get a pill so you can feel better. But that wasn't God's plan in the beginning. In the beginning, there were no pharmacies. In the beginning, there was no medicine. In the beginning, there was no sickness to begin. But to me, it's a no-brainer that people turn to the doctors and turn to medicine because, well, you can get a result. Like if you got a headache, you can take an aspirin. So why believe God for healing when you could pop a pill? Well, for one reason, healing from God is cheaper. He doesn't charge house calls. He doesn't charge premiums. And you don't have to have a health insurance policy to be healed of the Lord. We read in Mark chapter 5, verses 27 through 34. I'd like to go there. Mark 5, 27, 34. This is a story about a woman who had a lot of experience about doctors. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I want to make a jump over in Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Okay, that first part of that verse, as you think in your heart, so you are. This woman thought in her heart, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she said it. You know, it talks about Mark 11, 23. Let's go there. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I've told you this before. I've had people who said, well, that just didn't work for me. Well, yeah, it did. It got exactly what Jesus said right there. You cannot break the word of God. It'll work for you or it'll work against you. That woman thought in her heart, if I touch his clothes, I'm going to be well. And she said it out of her mouth. And she was made whole. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He didn't say unto her, my faith has made you whole, but her faith. There's a lot of people that you just can't convince them that by his stripes you're healed. They'll receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you cannot convince them that they can walk in divine health. You know, I'm just a simple Ozark boy. And when I read in Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, the day I got saved, the very moment I got saved, I was dying of liver cancer and melanomas. And the doctors had given me 3 weeks or less to live. And this was in July of 93. And the Lord showed me that verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I believed it, and I'm living it. 24 years, and I have not had a sick day. So as I think in my heart, so I am. Okay? Well, how about the next guy that just doesn't really believe that applies to him? Guess what? He's going to be sick. And so they're going to try to tell me that they're not healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's only for some people or some time back here at another age. But as you think in your heart, that's what you're going to have. You know, it's just like this. You know, this woman had a lot of experience with doctors. She had spent everything she had. And it said, she didn't get better, she got worse. Has anything really changed in 2,000 years? Personally, I don't think a doctor ought to get paid until you're well. You know, I used to own a furniture repair business. I didn't get paid until the furniture was fixed. You know, you go to a dentist, the dentist doesn't get paid until he fixes your teeth. A house painter doesn't get paid until your house is painted. Why should it be any different for a doctor? I don't know why it is. It's the only occupation that you can get paid for not doing your job. Thank God Jesus isn't like that. His word works. It always works. You know, when this woman had heard about Jesus' healing the sick, she was going to have some of that. She wasn't going to be denied. And I think it's no different for me. When I saw that word, I was sick when I saw that word in Psalms 103. I was dying. My body was doing everything it could to die. But that word changed my life. That word had existed for thousands of years, but it didn't work for me until the moment I believed it. There's a lot of people being sick, and they don't have to be sick, that are born again, that love the Lord, and are still sick. Don't have to be sick. You know, this woman got cured, and for free even. Jesus didn't say, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace, and by the way, give me an offering." He didn't say that, did he? He didn't take an offering from anybody that was sick. He healed them. Today, people put more faith in pills and in doctors than they do in the Word of God. And even though He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, they still look at what's going on in their body. Now, I understand God created us with five senses. And so He created us with those five senses to believe them so we could have information about what's going on in our surroundings to protect ourselves. But you see, His Word, His Holy Spirit, when it fills us, comes in and gives us a sixth sense that we didn't have before. It gives us a sense that, hey, I'm looking at all this stuff in the natural, but God's a spiritual God, and everything that God created was created out of the Spirit before it came into the physical world. He created us healthy in the beginning. Sin brought sickness to us. Well, we all know that. Christ Jesus was sent to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Christ Jesus came and healed the sick as a demonstration of the kingdom of God, of the will of God. Some people say, well, you know, I'm not too sure it's God's will to heal me. All you got to do is read your Bible. All you got to do is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And keep going. Read Acts. Because the demonstration that Jesus made, He says, I do nothing except my Father show me. And He says, I and my Father are one. A lot of times we pray, well, Lord, if it's your will, heal this person or heal me. But that's kind of an ignorant prayer, because it's okay to pray, Lord, if it's your will, I'll go to Africa and minister. Because we don't have chapter and verse for that. But we have chapter and verse that Jesus healed the sick. He demonstrated His Father's will that He wants us to be in health. But people just don't want to dare to trust God for their healing. They want a backup plan. You know, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be prayed for healing. But, you know, I got this bottle of pills at home just in case God's word doesn't work. Well, let me ask you this. Have you believed with your whole heart that you're saved? Do you have a backup plan just in case Jesus can't heal you? Do you have a plan with Muhammad or Krishna or Buddha? No, if Jesus doesn't come through for you, you're done. And I'm done. We have to put our confidence in Him for salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I never got a ticket in the mail that says admit one to heaven. Maybe everybody else did, but I didn't get one. So all I have is the Word of God, like Romans 10:9 and 10. That's my ticket. Well, that Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 is my ticket for healing and your ticket for healing. But if you don't use it, it's not going to do you any good. I remember years ago, I had this Lincoln, and I met this minister, and the Lord told me to give this man my Lincoln. I'm like, Lord, you know, I love my Lincoln. But I took the thing home, and I took the owner's manual out, and tickets I'd had in it and stuff like this. And I was reading this owner's manual. I found that Lincoln would do some things that I had no idea it could do. And here it was bought and paid for. The options belonged to me. I had the full use of them, but I never read the book. So therefore, I didn't have the benefit of those options. I tell you what, I read the book now. Every vehicle I get, I read the book. I don't care if it's 500 pages. I'm going to find out what belongs to me because it's bought and paid for. Well, in the Word of God, you need to get in there and find out what belongs to you because it's bought and paid for, and you don't want to miss it. But many who won't dare to trust God are double-minded. And, you know, they're afraid to trust Him absolutely unconditionally. Really, there's no way to trust God halfway. Would you want God to save you to the point where you could get to the pearly gates and look inside? You can't go in. Well, no. You want to go in, don't you? Well, I do anyway. Why do you want to look at other people's testimonies about being healing and not have it for yourself? It's bought and paid for, folks. You can have it, but you got to believe it. Now, I understand people take medicine. And I don't have something against doctors. A lot of people think I do, but doctors have patched together. A lot of people have been in car wrecks and broken bones and stuff like that. And I've had my share of broken bones. But I know this, that God will heal you without a doctor, because I know He did it for me. There's a reason a lot of people that love the Lord are sick. And it may not be what you think it is. I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. I want to read you an account here. Matthew 9, 1 through 7. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's read that part again. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, Jesus forgave the sins of that man, then he healed him. Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes saith within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose, and he departed into his house. Again, before the man experienced healing, he experienced forgiveness of his sins. Now I'm saying that because if you've received forgiveness of your sins, you can receive healing just as easy. Healing is easy, people. Salvation's hard. Salvation's hard because you don't have physical proof of your salvation, but you can have physical proof in your body of healing. And your body wants to see physical proof, okay? We got the taste, touch, hear, smell, everything, sight. Our senses want to see, want to hear, want to feel this thing. You can feel the healing in your body. I feel it every day. I thank God every day for it. People say, well, how long do you have to confess your healing? Well, I've been doing it 24 years, and it works. Do you understand why we often fail to receive the manifestation of healing? We got to go back to the day of our salvation. We've already established that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible tells us that. By virtue of his unchanging nature, if he had been moved with compassion to heal the sick then, he'll be moved with compassion to heal you today. Plain and simple. There's no need to keep going back over that part. We should really need to look at Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 23 to shed some light on this. Hebrews 10, 1 through 23. You see, there's a sin problem that's got to be dealt with before healing can take place. And that's where a lot of people stumble. And I think, you know, if we go over this passage carefully, I think you're going to see why. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purchased should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, he, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, and after these days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquity I will remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You see, you're not going to have to go back day after day after day after day and expect Jesus to get back on that cross for forgiveness of your sins. He done it, and it's done once. That same stripes that he took on his body back then purchased your healing every day of your life. Every day. I used to be sick all the time before I got saved, because I didn't know I didn't have to be sick. I lived in sin. But Jesus cured my sin problem, and he cured my sick problem. But we have to hold fast the profession of our faith. Not let it go. Can't waver, can't wobble around. Let's see what James had to say about this. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. I think, well, you know, divers temptations, testing. I'm just rejoicing because I got cancer. No, we don't do that. But it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, God doesn't always do anything instantly. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. It's his call, not mine. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Why do we need wisdom? Because we got to learn how to believe the word of God in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what it feels like, in spite of what it smells like. Wisdom is the principal thing. It says in Proverbs, it says, above all, get wisdom. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now that's the big one right there. You know, oh God, heal me. I'm believing for healing, you know. You got your Bible in your left hand, you got your pill bottle in the right hand. That's wavering, folks. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can tell an unstable person. They're the person that one day they're saved or on the mountain, the next day they're in the valley. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, yeah, today I'm saved, tomorrow I don't know. Well, I'm healed today. And then the devil says, think so, hon, and hits you with the pain. And, oh, well, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not. How many people do that? Quite a few. You cannot receive anything from the Lord wobbling around, being unstable. We think we can, but we can't. I propose you the reason so many have difficulty receiving the manifestation of their healing is they've never truly settled in their heart that their sins are forgiven. The devil always comes to remind people of their sin. He always comes to remind them of their guilt. Always comes to remind us and condemn us. Well, what's that do? What kind of effect does that have on us? Well, you know, he gets us dwelling on our guilt. And of course, he's going somewhere. Come to us and say, well, you know, if you was really saved, you wouldn't be sick. Or if you really believe God, you wouldn't be sick. And he stumbles us with our own thoughts. Guilt, condemnation. Well, you were a pretty bad egg back then, you know. Why do you think God would heal you? Why do you think God would forgive your sins? You know, when he asked me that one time, he said, why do you think God would heal you? I think, well, why do you think he'd heal? Why do I think he'd heal me? Because he forgave my sins. And he said, well, why do you think he'd forgive your sins? I says, because the Bible said so, and that is settled. That day that I was saved, I took those verses that God had gave me, and I locked those in my heart, and I threw the key as far away, and I never have revisited ever again. I know that I know my sins are forgiven. And just as surely as I know my sins are forgiven, I know I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Oh, everybody gets sick. No, I don't get sick. Well, everybody gets sick sometime. I'm not everybody. I'm Jerry. You see, I know Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. I know the Word of God works. The devil is always working on my head. Well, you know, Jerry, you're 69 years old, you know. Yeah, everybody's healthy to a certain age, and then they fall apart. And I think, I'm not going to fall apart. Well, but you will someday. I think, no, I'm not. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I don't think in my heart. I know in my heart. I trust my Savior. I have no place else to look for salvation. I have no place else to look for healing. I don't have a backup plan for salvation, so what do I need a doctor for? Because I have no backup plan for healing either. He's it, folks. The result is the devil tries to keep us blinded to the truth of the Word of God. Tries to keep us doubting over here. Just like he did Thomas, you know. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger into the print of the nail and thrust my hand to his side. And Jesus appeared in that locked room. Poof. I like that. Thomas, reach forth your hand and feel the print of these nails and thrust your hand to my side and be not unbelieving but believe. And he says, my Lord and my God. You know, from that day, Thomas wasn't a doubter. There comes a point in everyone's life when we have an opportunity to be a doubting Thomas or we can be a believer. When the revelation of God's Word hits you finally, there's no more doubt. It's gone. And the devil can sit there and try to rattle your cage all day long, but he's just wasting his time because it's settled. Until you get settled in your spirit, the devil's going to drive you around all over the place like a wave until you're settled in here that you cannot be, you can't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. He's going to play games with you all your life. You know, it's not just going to be about healing. It's going to be about anything and everything. You know, he'll beat you up with your finances. He'll beat you up with anything he can throw at you because if he can get you to doubt, you're going to do without. The result is if we cannot believe it's for us, we can't have it. After all, how could we, no matter how often we go to church, how often we pray, how much time we spend in the Bible, how could we ever be worthy of that God would do anything for us. We can't. Everything we enjoy from God is because of His choice. He imparts His righteousness to us. We have no righteousness of our own. Everything we have, the benefits that we can enjoy, are because He chose to give them to us. Truth is, you know, we can't do anything to become worthy. Could God, who is perfect, sinless, possibly be able to be willing to overlook all our sins? Yeah, for a price. But you don't have enough to pay it. That's why He sent Jesus to pay it for us. The price is paid. You can't add anything to what Jesus did to make yourself more righteous or make yourself more healed. God, knowing that we couldn't pay the price for our sins, paid it, sent His only begotten Son to pay the price that we couldn't pay. And He paid it on the cross once for all time. What's that mean to you? Well, it means in real simple terms, Jesus paid the price and you get to go scot-free. He took all your sins, all your sickness upon Himself. It's no longer on you, understand. It's on Him. You got to be able to see your sickness on Jesus. You got to be able to see your sins upon Jesus. Because if you can't close your eyes and in your mind's eye see it on Him, then you're still seeing it on you. So you can look in the mirror and see yourself free from sin. And if you can't, you can't have the manifestation of your healing. You're calling God a liar. Now, nobody will say, well, I'm going to call God a liar to His face. But, you know, you're doing it. And you may not even realize it. That's what I said. Go all the way back to the cross if you have to do. If you got to do that, go all the way back to that day of salvation. And leave your sins, your guilt, your condemnation there at the cross. And move on. You know, I tell people something like this. I says, you know, I took all my sins to the cross and all my sickness to the cross, and I got up and I ran like Dickens. I ain't going to let it catch up with me again. Jesus has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. But see, there is a line that divides east from west, and the devil is trying to bring you right back to that line to where you're this close to your sins again. That's where he snags us. You got to remember your sins are as far as from the east is from the west. And every disease that you can name, and even the ones that they're just discovering that they haven't ever known about before, those are under the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no disease that Satan can try to put on you that's not already under the blood. Just as surely as you're guilt-free, you can be sickness free. I don't care if you're 17 or 117, you don't have to be sick. But until you're able to see your sin and your guilt upon Jesus, you're not going to be able to see your sickness upon Him either. And you'll be walking around sick if you're walking at all. Once you've made the Lord your Lord and your Savior, God's forgiveness of your sins is absolute, unconditional. And it's an ongoing process every day for as long as you live. The grace He gives you day by day to overcome sin and to turn away from it is the same grace He gives you to turn away from sickness and disease. Just as surely as your sins are forgiven, it will keep sickness out of your life. And you can go home to the Lord in peace without sickness. Don't listen to these people that say, well, everybody's got to fall apart and get sick and die of sickness. You can just close your eyes and wake up with the Lord. Because sickness is not part of God's plan. He's not trying to teach you a lesson. He's not trying to punish you. He chastises His children with His word, not sickness. God's got a better plan for you, and that's to be well all the days of your life. Praise His holy name.